Matthew chapter 11. Now, we'll move with some dispatch tonight. I don't want to keep you out past 11:30 or 12. And looking forward to tomorrow, and trust we'll have a great day.
Amen.
We did get a box of the Sword of the Lord.
Amen.
In, and they're out on the table in the lobby, in the foyer. And you may have a sample copy tonight as you leave. And either tonight or sometime tomorrow, I hope I can sign you up.
Amen.
To get the sword coming to your mailbox. Now, I'm going to make it real easy for you to do that. We publish the paper every 2 weeks. And as you can see, it's a big full newspaper with all kinds of things in it that'll be a help to you. In fact, just the news that we cover, will keep you abreast of a lot of things that Christians need to know about. We don't try to cover everything that's going on in the world. We do not. But the whole thrust of our news coverage is things we think Christians ought to be advised about. And sometimes when you read newspapers, you know, the L.A. Times or Chicago Tribune or New York Times or USA Today, you say, well, that's a newspaper. I get the news there. But every last one of those papers that I mentioned has a liberal left-leaning slant.
That's right.
And it's like ABC, NBC, and CBS on the networks. If you're getting your news from those networks, you're not getting the truth on a lot of things. They're slanting it because they have an agenda, and they're preaching just like I do. But they're preaching their left-wing ideology. And that's not even a secret anymore. Everybody just about in creation knows that. But they're doing it because they're intent on changing America.
Yeah.
And then they're leaning. So what we do, we cover many of those things. The cultural revolution that has been underway in America. I mark it as beginning in 1960. And the hippie revolution, Vietnam era, all of that was the kickoff for it. But by the time we got into the 1990s and past the year 2000, the cultural revolution was, it was hugely in place. Not just about to happen, but happening and happened in America. All of the things, kicking God out of the schools, abortion on demand, this homosexual revolution, all of those things, it's a part of a grander scheme of things to literally change America and make a different place out of our country. And so we cover all of that stuff in every issue and do our best to nail it to the wall so that you will have a good understanding of what is going on in the nation. Another thing that I mentioned about the sword is we're losing our heritage in this country. The educators have rewritten the history books and revised history. So the history that I studied in high school and the history that kids study in high school today, it's almost like daylight and dark. It's two different things. The heroes that we learned about are no longer heroes. They're sitting back in the back corner somewhere. And a part of what we do with the sword is try to keep our Christian heritage in front of you. And some of the great old servants of God who've already gone on to heaven, well, you just thought they died. They're still alive. We have some of them in the sword every issue. Men like Dr. John Rice, Oliver B. Green, and a host of others. People that you ought to know. I mean, you ought to know about them. You ought to understand who they are. You ought to know the Tom Malones. You ought to know the great, great men of past generations. And we make it a point to introduce you and your family to those giants of the faith, the pages of the sword. And I think you'll like getting it. I want you to get it. And we make it so easy because you get 26 issues in a year. That's every other week. You'll get a big full issue. Loaded up with more than you'll get read. For $1 a month, you can have it in your mailbox. You say, how in the world do you do that? Well, we raise a lot of money. We have to raise a lot of money. But I determined early on we would not jack the price up and price people out of the ability to get it. I want everybody, I don't care who it is, how little money you make, I want the sword to be affordable so you can have it if you want it. And I think for a dollar a month, you should be able to scrounge it up, borrow it, or something, and get the sword coming to your mailbox. And there's envelopes out there. If you want to put it on debit card or credit card or whatever, we're going to work with you. So I hope you'll sign up while I'm here.
Good.
And if you get the sword in your mailbox for a few months, and if you write and tell me, write a nice letter and tell me it's not worth what you paid for it, I'll write you a nice letter back and tell you how sorry I am.
Amen.
No, you're not going to do that. You're going to like it. I know you will. All right, you found Matthew chapter 11, did you? Did I announce that?
Yes, sir.
Matthew chapter 11. I've eaten so much today, I'm not remembering what I've said. We went to that El Commodore place, and I have already put that on my list of the maybe three or four or five best Mexican restaurants that I've ever eaten in. And I've eaten in a bunch of them, as may be obvious to you. But that was fabulous, wonderful. And then we sat down over here a few minutes ago the Mexicans have a thing they call a matanza. You ever been to a matanza? Well, that's a feast that they put on when they have guests. They always roast a pig. We had everything tonight except the pig. Amen? And I'm talking about a whole pig. You know how they do that. And so this was almost a full-scale matanza over there tonight. But I appreciate it. We enjoyed it very much. Matthew chapter 11, and one verse in this chapter is my text tonight. It is verse number 6. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, you don't have to read very much of the Bible to discover that there were people taking issue with Jesus about all kinds of things. And just to illustrate a little bit, if you look in Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 and verse 28 says, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, now, listening to Jesus, they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. So Jesus spoke in the synagogue and a bunch of folks got mad. You see what happened? They took offense at what Jesus had to say. Another illustration can be found in John chapter 6. John's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 66. I've always thought it interesting that this verse was 666. But the verse says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You say, what was the problem? They heard things they didn't like.
Yeah.
They heard things and they said, that's a no-go. Not interested in that. I don't think I want to do that. And so they stumbled over, in the first case, it was basically people in the outside world, folks in Judaism and others. They heard what Jesus had to say and they stumbled at it and they took offense and they said, not going there. But now here are some folks who have been walking with him. They've been following him. And they have been disciples in the sense that they're tagging along and learning about what's going on. And some of them may have even said, hey, we think we want to be a Christian. But the Bible says there came a point where they said, no, not for us. We're not going to do that. Now, I want to bring you a message tonight off of this chapter. And the reason that I think it is important that we do this sometimes, that we look at this passage, because sometimes we have people even in our day who stumble and take offense at Jesus. Even folks who come to Sunday school,
yep.
And folks who work in the bus ministry,
well,
and sing in the choir, and serve in other capacities in the church, but they come at a point where they take offense at Jesus. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and I haven't taken any surveys, but just based on my years in the pastorate, and for the last 17 years, I've been traveling back and forth, length and breadth of this country, and preached literally in hundreds and hundreds of churches across America and in a good number of other countries. And I honestly believe that the greatest reason why folks start to serve the Lord and then stop serving the Lord is because of their taking offense at something. Or every once in a while you'll have somebody drop out of the church because they get on drugs. Every once in a while it'll be somebody, they fall back into alcohol, and so they drop out and they backslide and they get away from the Lord. But I have noticed more people, I mean even people who came forward, got baptized, joined the church, but they back up and they go out the door, the same door they came in, they go out that door, never to come back again, because that they take offense. And Jesus said in this verse, blessed is he. That is, there's blessing to be had. There are good things that accrue if you do not take offense at me. You say, well, how in the world do people take offense at Jesus? Well, some people object to his doctrine. Now, one of the things you'll discover in reading the sword, we hammer on some things.
Praise the Lord.
In fact, I tell people pretty often, if you hear me preach, well, two, three, four times, and if I don't hammer on, if somewhere along the way, if I don't take a strike or two at liquor and liberals, you know I'm not feeling good. I mean, I hate liquor.
Amen.
And all of its forms. And I say so. And I say so over and over again. And liberals are a lot of the cause of problems in our country. And I, part of my calling is to harass liberals. I mean, I'm after them. You say, what kind of liberals? Political liberals? Absolutely. Religious liberals? Absolutely. Just going after them. Now, some folks, they hear the straightforward teaching and preaching of the Word of God, and they say, well, I don't think I like it. You know, there's some folks, when I say, now, open the Bible, the Word of God, it's the perfect Word of God, the pure Word of God, I mean, it's the preserved Word of God, what I have in my hand, when I say that, I mean, there are people who take offense at that. I mean, I hear from people just pretty regularly say, I'd read the sword, and I'd take the sword if you didn't take such a strong stand on the Bible and insist that you've got the English, in the English Bible, you've got the perfect Word of God. By the way, they're not all Methodists and Presbyterians doing that. but people take offense at that. And people sometimes take offense because we do take a stand against liquor. All of its forms and all of its amounts, we just take a stand. And some folks object to that, and they balk at that, and it's like, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I want to do something different to that. And the doctrines of our faith, the things that Jesus taught pointedly and that are taught in the New Testament for us, some folks take offense at that, and it's like, well, I want to go to church, but I don't want to go to one of those churches where they insist on full baptism by immersion and where they insist that you're saved and once saved and forever saved and other such things. I mean, people just object to that stuff. And they balk at it even though it is absolutely the truth.
Amen. Amen.
And they take offense.
Yep.
And they head off down the street somewhere. The other folks, they set out to serve God, and they say, I'm going to serve God and do what I ought to do. And then something happens in their life, and they get a disease of some kind. I mean, something strikes them, and they wind up days or weeks in the hospital, and they come out from that, and maybe they've got some ongoing problems with it, and instead of taking some of that as they ought to be taken, it's like, well, if that's what it means, if that's what God's going to do to me, and they assume God did it to them.
Yeah.
And they take offense at God.
Yeah.
I remember going to a house fire years ago, one of our families. Got the word, house is on fire. I drove over there and walked up beside the man. He was standing there, and his house was fully engulfed in flames, and the fire department was there trying to put it out, but it was gone. And as soon as I walked up, he looked at me, and he said, Pastor, he said, I try to serve God, and look what he's done to me. Just like God lit the match that set the house afire. God didn't do that to him.
No.
But he took it that way. And he took offense, and I don't think I ever saw him again inside the church house.
Yep.
Some folks have a death in their family. Some tragic thing happens. And they say, well, if that's the way God's going to do, if he's going to take away my Uncle Joe, if he's going to take away my child, if he's going to take away my spouse, and they just get bitter and they turn on God and take offense at God. There are people all over this country right now, I mean lots of folks, millions of people across this country. 2 years ago, they had a job making big money. They don't have a job at all now.
Right.
Folks that had homes. And they lost them. They've been foreclosed on, and they're just barely managing to get by now, and no longer have the beautiful house that they had 2 or 3 years ago. And some of those folks have fallen into the abyss of defeat, and it's like here I was walking with God, and look, now I don't have the big car, and I don't have the house, and I don't have the job, and I'm just barely getting by, if at all. And some folks take offense. I was in a church recently that had been hit very, very hard by a major, major disappointment. Somebody in the church was high profile in the church, and they fell into sin. And the folks are standing around they're glassy-eyed. They're standing around, and they're saying, we can't believe this happened in our church. We can't believe that somebody who was one of us and that we had entrusted with responsibilities and they did this awful thing. And several people had left the church because of somebody that had fallen into sin. And the disappointment was so great that some of the other folks you said, well, man, I'm not going to be a part of that. Now, you say, what's happening here? Folks are looking at all of these things, and they're taking offense and blaming God and saying, I just don't want to do that. And so they're getting offended at the Lord. Jesus said, if you don't get offended at me, there will be blessing come to you. Now, we add a second piece to this puzzle. There's some folks who do not on the surface get offended at Jesus, but on a second level, they get offended at other folks who are serving the Lord. Let me give you a verse to go with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31, 32, and 33. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, giving none offense. Watch this now. Giving none offense to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. Now what he says here is, we are not to give offense to the outside world, Jews and Gentiles. We're also not to do that which will cause other people to be offended.
That's right.
Now, I had a man in my church, pastor. And everybody knew him because of something that he said over and over and over again. I heard him say it dozens and dozens of times. And just a bit of an obnoxious guy he was. And he said, I say what I think and I think what I please. And everybody knew that's exactly what he did. And he offended more people. I mean, just, hey, I'll say whatever I want to say, I don't care whether you like it or not. And he offended folks all over the place, all the time. Now, the Bible says in this 1 Corinthians 10 passage that we are to give none offense to the folks, the church of God. I've heard preachers say, hey, I'll do what I want to do. I don't care who likes it. I don't care who. I mean, I'm just going to please God, and I don't care who else likes it. This passage says, even as I please all men in all things. Now, you say, well, you can't be a man pleaser. No, but in the context of this passage, it's saying that you and I ought not to just set out to aggravate one another.
Amen.
We ought not to just say, well, I don't like the fact that that guy's a deacon, or I don't like the fact that that person sang a solo, so I'm going to go up and tell them what a jerk they are, and maybe they won't do it anymore. When you and I begin to give offense inside the circle of our Christian family and friends, we start wounding the work of God. And the result of that is, hey, listen, we don't get into this giving offense among ourselves without also violating this first one where we take offense at Jesus. I'm telling you, these things are tied together. If I just set out to rub you the wrong way and to do things that cause you to stumble, I'm not listening to Jesus like I ought to. If I listen to Him and follow His direction, I'll work at nurturing you. I'll work at discipling you. I'll work at befriending you. I will work at partnering with you. And so I must not, number one, give offense to Jesus, take offense from Jesus. I must not give offense to my brethren. And then there's a third thing. You'll remember that Psalm 119, 165 passage that says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I say, well, I sang a solo, and nobody said a word. Nobody said that was good. I'm going to tell you, I've stood up and preached full-length messages and walked out of the building, not very many times, but there have been times when I've done that and nobody said boo to me after. I mean, while I was still pastor, sometimes I would on the way home, I'd say to Betty, I said, is anybody listening to me? Did they hear a word I said this morning? I don't think anybody's paying attention. Sometimes maybe they weren't. She always was the ambassador of encouragement and said, oh, no, it was great. It was great even when it wasn't. She kept me from falling into the pit of despair. Now, when you and I have our relationship with the Lord like we should, 119, 165 of Psalm says we will have great peace because we love what we get from the Lord. And if we're right there, we will not be offended at whatever people throw at us. Now, let me explain this to you, because already you're saying, but man, somebody was awfully ugly to me and I didn't like that. Well, let me help you. And let me illustrate it like this. You know, I'm so happy at this stage of my life I still have hair. I have two or three of them. I'm grateful for them. And today and tonight and again last night, and I plan to do the same tomorrow, before I show up for you to see me, I'm going to work diligently to see that my hair is arranged in decent fashion. Sometimes when I wake of a morning, it's not in presentable fashion. And so I work to arrange it. And when I arrange it right, I spray it with something that has cement in it so that not even these howling winds in Montana can move it. Now, Betty will tell you, I'm a little bit touchy about my hair. I just don't want my hair mussed up. Now, if you come up to me after the service and you take both hands and you muss my hair, if you're a man and not too awfully big, I'm probably going to pop you in the nose. I wouldn't do that to a lady, of course. Now, what I'm saying is you come up, you muss my hair up. I'm telling you now in advance before you do it, write it down in big capital letters, I do not like that. And I'm not going to like the fact that you did it to me. And I will remember the next time I see you coming. And I'll build a concrete blockade between me and you so that you can't do it again. I won't like it. But I'm going to tell you this. You mess my hair up every time I see you. And I promise you, you're not going to stop me from coming to church. You're not going to keep me from doing what I do here. And if you do that in the morning, just before I walk into the pulpit, I may embarrass the pastor standing up here with my hair turned in 40 directions, but you'll not keep me from preaching in the morning just because you do something I don't like. See, the offense comes. It's not just a matter of, well, man, there's all kinds of things I look around, I don't like. It's okay for you to have likes and dislikes. And even tell me, I wish you wouldn't do such and such. It's okay. But the question is, if I irritate you and if I aggravate you and if something happens between us and you just get wounded and hurt, are you still going to walk with God and serve God and do your duty and do what you're supposed to do? The Bible says, blessed is he that does not take offense at Jesus. I mean, some of these other folks, they heard what Jesus had to say, and they took a hike. They headed for the high country somewhere. And when the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You say, well, I had something happen on Saturday. Did you sing the solo on Sunday like you were scheduled to do? Did you run your bus route like you were scheduled to do? Did you go soloing like you were supposed to do? Did you show up on Sunday night? That's the question.
Yeah,
man. Good. Some of those people at that church, I saw them out of the mall. They didn't speak to me. They're friendly as all get out at church, but I saw them in the mall and they turned and went the other way. All right, the question is, you still going to sing your solo? Still going to run your bus route? Still going to usher? Still going to be in the choir? And if you answer yes, 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 yes to all of that, then I'm going to say, hey, you're getting it. You got it. You understand. You're learning. You're doing it right. But if you say, no, 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 I'm not going to do that. They should have spoke to me. Then I'm going to say, we need to back up and go to class again and learn how we're supposed to function as a Christian.
Yeah.
And if we learn that, Jesus said, there's blessing that comes to us. Now, I'll be very honest to tell you. There is something in me that yearns to have the good blessing of God.
Amen.
I want it. I want it on Saturday. I want it Sunday. I want it Monday. I mean, I want to experience God's good things. And you may disappoint me. I mean, you may slap me around. You may be ugly to me. But I'm going to do my dead level best to not let that keep me. I mean, I'm going to try to not respond in the wrong way so that I cannot get what God wants to give to me. And this whole business of giving offense, taking offense, I'm telling you, I've seen good people that I love dearly. I have seen them bow up their back, swell up their head, and strut out of the church, never to come back again.
That's right.
Because they didn't get their way about something. You know, as pastor, sometimes people say, I want to do this and so on. And I would, for one reason or another, I had to say, well, no, I can't agree to that. I can't let you do that. And you know, we don't really find out what your character is. And we don't really find out what kind of a Christian you are as long as everything's going well and as long as you are getting your way about everything. What I will find out, I will find out what kind of a Christian you are when somebody tells you no. Or when something doesn't go your way. Will you still be sweet? Will you still be a good Christian? Will you still be fully supportive in everything the first time Pastor Shearer says no? That's the question. And I want to, I'm not saying you're all in kindergarten. I'm just saying I want to get you out of kindergarten. I want to get you out of spiritual elementary school, and I want to head you toward a spiritual graduate school so that when some devil comes along and tries to do you huge damage, you haven't been tripped up over some little incident in the nursery or in the choir or in the lobby at the church. Now,
come on.
Jesus said to his disciples in John 16, "These things have I spoken to you, that you should not be offended." Jesus is telling us this thing of offense, it becomes a stumbling block for a lot of folks. There's a piece in Acts 24 that says, "Herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Void of offense. The conscience, clean of offense. Nothing tucked away in there that is hindering and keeping us from serving God. Philippians chapter 1 says, "That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." So how long have I got to keep this up till the horn sounds? Till the trumpet blows. Romans 16 says, "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them."
Amen.
There are people in the church sometimes, they specialize in creating offense. Don't you buddy with them. Don't pal with them. I'm not saying that you not speak to them or that you not smile at them, but just don't get close to them. If they're trouble like that and they're always causing a stir, you better not get too tight with them, because they'll suck you into something. Now Mark chapter 9 says, "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." You know, sometimes little children, they come running through the building, got these nice comfortable chairs. I haven't looked, but I guarantee you this bubblegum stuck under some of these chairs. Probably some bubblegum on top of some of them. But how did that happen? Well, some little... Darling. Now, you say, well, listen. Some of those little rambunctious brats, that's brats with a capital B. Capital B-R. I mean, brats. Some of those little brats, they'll be missionaries in a while.
Right.
Some of them will grow up, and they'll be deacons in the church.
Amen.
You say, well, they don't look much like it now. Yeah, I know, but don't offend them. Because there's more coming with them.
Yeah.
Don't go kick them out the front door of the church. Had a college group come by the Sword Thursday from Grace Baptist College up in Gaylord, Michigan, John Jenkins Church. His college summer tour group came by, and I preached for him Easter Sunday and had met a young man, and he was in this college group. He's big, robust, big arm, and he's looked like a football player, kid out of the heart of Chicago. And I preached in the church, his home church. I think he's 20 now, and I think maybe 5 years ago I preached in his home church, and he was still a kid in high school. And he says, I don't even remember it, but he says one of the Sundays that I preached there that he and some other kids were creating a ruckus in the back, and he said, you stop right in your preaching, and you said, looked right at me and pointed your finger, and you said, hey, young man, now look, this is church, and we're glad you're here, but sit down and be quiet and just stay quiet and let me do the talking, and whatever else I said. I mean, he was giving this whole spiel, and he was just, I mean, he's laughing, he hugged me, you know, he's in Bible college now preparing for the ministry, and he said, I went home that Sunday, and he said, my mother said to me, she said, I can't believe that you misbehaved and Dr. Smith had to call you down. And he just laughed and he hugged me and he said, I'm so glad you did. He said, I needed it. Now, you know, sometimes it's all in the manner in which you do stuff.
Amen.
And it's all in the manner in which you take stuff. And that one came out good. Amen. And the Bible says that we're not to offend those little ones. Romans 14 says it's good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbles or is offended
right.
or is made weak. So my point to you is the text says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. We can take issue with Jesus about something. Take offense at Jesus. Take offense at the Bible. Take offense at God. We can give offense to each other. We can be the offender when we do things to others that causes them to stumble. And when we do that, we're at odds with Jesus. These are tied together. And whenever you and I take offense, we're also not as we should be toward the Lord. If we're toward Him like we should, then we won't be taking offense. We'll have that great peace that protects us against offense. Now, you say, why have you preached this message to us tonight? Because I don't want you to be a casualty over something that happens at Heritage Baptist Church.
Mm.
Now, I had the privilege to pastor a wonderful church for a long time. And we had some casualties along the way that broke my heart. And I don't want that to ever happen. I don't ever want it to happen. And so if we just remember the things that the Bible teaches us, then whenever something does go wrong, you say, well, this is the church. We ought not to have junk happening at the church. Do you realize Heritage Baptist Church is not a perfect church? The reason it's not is we let you join. And even if it were a perfect church, if we let one more person join, that would make it imperfect. And the reason is, you know where we recruit members? Out of the human race. I had a wonderful church, but all of our members, we got every last one of them out of the human race. And that being the case, once in a while we had things didn't go right. And what I always tried to say to our people is, if something goes wrong, if you will give us any kind of a chance, we'll do our best to fix it. In fact, I often said to them, a little southern expression, this is the fixing place. This is the fixing place. I'm not saying something won't go wrong. I'm not saying that something won't happen that hurts you. But I'm just saying, if you won't tuck tail and run, we'll do our best to fix it. And the reason is because we're trying not to be offended at Jesus or at each other or to give offense to each other. Because if we will deal with these offenses right, Matthew 11:6 says, we get blessing. We get blessed if we just handle the offenses. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I sure do need the blessings that God can give. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Stand with me, please. We'll pray.